for a soft, tender heart.
Amen.
You're going to make me cry. I don't know, after surgery, I've become more emotional too, so I don't know. Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at the thought of blessed be the tie that binds. Blessed be the tie that binds. There's a hymn, an old hymn. I'm not going to sing it for you. You'll be happy. But I am going to read the words this morning. Rich? Blessed be the tie that binds our heart in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Maker's throne we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. We share each other's woes, each other's burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathy tear. When we asunder part, it gives us kinsman's pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. The glorious hope revives our courage. On the way in perfect friendship, we shall live in God's eternal day. Blessed be the tie that binds our heart. And I want to talk about that tie that binds our heart this morning. The book of Philippians, this is a letter of Paul writing, a letter of gratitude. The church in Philippi did much for the Apostle Paul, both spiritually and physically and financially. The church took care of the Apostle Paul, and in this church, there was many characteristics that we're going to look at that bind their hearts together, that unified them together. And that's what I want us to talk about today, being a church this morning, a church that is unified together. And what brings us together? What ties that bind and puts us in with the same mind, the same accord, having that same heart, and having that in our lives. As Paul's given this letter of gratitude, he is thanking them for what they have, what they are and who they are and what they have been doing. And I want to stop there for a moment. As I was preparing this, and as Paul had a heart to thank those, I want to thank our church. We are not a perfect church. But we have a church that strives to be what God would have us to be. Amen. And I want to thank each of our churches, especially the past couple weeks, for the love, for food, for finances. With my surgery with Tanya, I told you I got more emotional after surgery. I want to thank each of you. Now I'm going to beat you up. No, just kidding. But Paul gives this letter of being thankful. See, Isaac, you started something bad. What bind them together? What brought them together? What brought them together is a strong congregation. That's what I want us to look at this morning. How can we, as a congregation, as a lighthouse in this community, become stronger than we even are now? That ought to be our goal. That ought to be our purpose. That ought to be our desire, not in our lives individually, but our life as a church. How can we come together as a group, as an identity, and unify closer together and have the true heart that we should have in our lives? What brought this church together? Now, there are many churches in the New Testament that were some good churches, But there is something special about this church at Philippi. There was something special about this church at Philippi. They had a strong connection together that kept growing, and they were an influence for the cause of Christ. If you're able to, please stand with me as we read from Philippians chapter number 1. And verse number 1 through verse number 11. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it's meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my prayer, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and all judgment, that he may approve things that are excellent, that he may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you as we have this time to look at your word. We ask that you just help us to see the truths that you want us to glean, that you want us to gain and apply to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, help us to be individuals that have a desire to grow closer to you and closer together as a church. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. This congregation was strong, and the relationship with Paul endured because they all shared some important characteristics. And these are characteristics I want us to first examine in our lives to make sure we have. And if we have them, are we growing in these characteristics? The first thing that they shared, I want you to look at verse 1 and verse 6 again. I want us to see in verse 1 and verse number 6. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. They shared salvation. What brought them together, they had a common goal, they had a common thought, and that was salvation. What brought them together is they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is what brings a group together. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can have a group of people, but you will never have a unified group. You never have a group that is bound together, because what binds you together is that common relationship of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why some of you know this. You can leave this area and you can go to another area and you can find people that know the Lord Jesus Christ. You might not know anything about them, but all of a sudden you have something in common. You have something that brings you together. You have something that bonds you together, and that is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what brought this church together, it was not a bunch of religious people that were meeting. It was a bunch of blood-bought, born-again believers in Jesus Christ that brought this church together. I tell you, in our day and age, many are trying to get crowds. And they are finding out crowds are not what God has ordained. Getting a group is easy to do. You mean, what do you mean, preacher? You can change your preaching. You can change your music. You can change your message. And you can make people feel good. You can come in here this morning And I say, well, we're going to find out the best positive you. Everyone is just a perfect person. None of you ever done anything wrong in your life. Oh, let's just get happy and let's just get glorified and let's just be tickling our ears. Oh, you guys are just wonderful people. You're not sinners. Oh, don't worry that the Bible says for all have sinned. We don't need to worry about that. We need to worry about how good we are. Find the positive you and let's build up our self-esteem and realize that we're all good people. We could preach that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Bible says there's no good, no, not one. The Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. The Bible says you are a sinner, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible says that you and I cannot save ourselves. The only person that can save us is Jesus Christ. There's no other way into heaven but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to have our sins forgiven is to know Him as our personal Lord and Savior. We can have a religious group, but religion doesn't save. You remember a religious man in the book of John, John chapter 3. He was religious, Nicodemus. He was religious and lost. I tell you, I told a story about this many years ago. One of the first times, and only the second, I've been on it one other time. I was on a horse the first time, and I've been on the horse twice, and never ever again will I get on a horse. But that first horse I had, name was Nicodemus. And I should have known better to ever get on that horse. But Nicodemus was a religious person. He was religious, but he was lost. And as much as religious people try to get together, there's a bunch of people meeting in buildings today that have a religion, but they do not know Jesus Christ. They're not going to be bound together. They're not going to have a common ground. They're not going to have the common core. They're not going to be able to come together. Why? Because they do not know Jesus as their Savior. That's what brings us together. I know many people say, well, I go to a church. I've talked to many that have visited our church before. I've talked to teens before. I've been here 17 years. The first about 3 years, I was the youth pastor, assistant pastor. Been here now 14 as the pastor. Before that, I spent 3 years in youth ministry back in Wisconsin. I worked with many teens, and I know many teens would say, well, I don't like to go to the youth group because I feel uncomfortable. Do you know why you feel uncomfortable most of the time? It has to do with your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what brings us together is not that we have the same hobbies. What brings us together is not that we have the same interests. It's not that we're like, do you know you can get a group of people together and even in this size of this room and have a hard time finding someone that agrees 100% with someone else in this room is almost impossible, especially if it's your spouse, right? And you have that hard time finding someone that agrees 100% with you. You know, when you got married, you truly married someone opposite most of us, right? In some ways. And some of your things that you like to do, your spouse did not like to do. Now, so there's some things you like, some things you don't like, but there are some things you don't like. There are some things that it was your sole thing in your life that you had to do. Now, some of you over years, you don't even do that anymore. Why? Because your spouse didn't like it and you gave it up. Why? But you have a close relationship with your spouse, even if you're not doing that interest. Why? Because there's something greater that binds your hearts together. When you get married, the Bible says you become one. You become one flesh. You become one unit. You become one. You're not two separate people living together. You become one. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He comes within us. He indwells within us. And we become one with one another because we have a common bind. We have a common thing that brings us together. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what brings us together. It's good to have Jerry. I'm not going to pick on you, Lucy. I'm just going to pick on Jerry. It's good to have Jerry. They're back from Arizona. Don't you feel bad for them? They had 120-degree weather, and he sent pictures of it in a winter coat with the temperature reading 120-some degrees. I always knew there's something wrong with him. Now I know there's something wrong with him. Jerry's different. I'm just going to say it. Lucy's wonderful. Jerry's different. See what you get sitting in the front row? Jerry's different. Jerry does not think the way I think. But you know what brings us together? We have a great relationship, and this is why I can say this, is our common salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was going to use Rex, but that's a hard one to go, so I'm just leaving that one alone. But what brings us together, we can have different thoughts, we can have all different things, but we're able to come together, worship God both in spirit and in truth, because we have a common salvation. Now, our salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Now, please don't take what I'm going to say wrong. There are many who will argue over certain things. Now, I'm all for standing for right. I'm all standing for doctrine. I'm all standing for things. But there are some preferences that people will fight over, and they will get over, and they can go through all these different issues. And every age, there's the same issues that come back up, and people fight over those, and we can fight all we want. But let me tell you, we can come together and we can disagree if ladies should wear pants or not wear pants. We can disagree on some of the other issues that people think are hot topic buttons, and we can fight all day long on those, okay? But that divides. What brings us together is understanding that we're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sinners saved by grace. That's what brings us together. You want to be unified? You want to be part of the family of God? You want to be a part of individuals that think the same way, on the same mindset? You must know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me ask you a question this morning. Has there been a time in your life when you realized your need of a Savior and you came to Him humbly and you bowed before Him and you cried out upon Him and said, I am a sinner in need of Savior, and called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has there been that time in your life when you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not saying, have you been to church all your life? I'm not saying, have you done different rituals? I'm saying, have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's salvation. They shared salvation. But how do they share salvation? I want you to see in verse 5 through verse 9. For your fellowship is the gospel from the first day until now, being confident this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meant for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how great I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus. And this I pray, that you love me abound yet more and more in the knowledge and all judgment. They shared a servant's spirit. What do? They put others, the Apostle Paul, others in the community, others before themselves. They had this spirit. You see, they carry this idea of a mutual care. As you see, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. They prayed for one another. They were there for one another. They had empathy for one another. They had love for one another. They put others before themselves. They prayed as they should. They were actively involved in the ministry. They were carrying out the things that they were supposed to be doing in the church. What brought them together is they served and loved together. Starts with salvation. That unifies and brings the church together. Secondly, what brings the church together is we realize it's not about us anymore. We realize others matter more than me. We realize God matters first and foremost. But we start putting others first. You know what divides the church? What breaks the tie that binds? You know what breaks it? Is when we become selfish individuals. Could you see the people at Philippi saying, well, Paul, I know you have needs. But Paul, I have a need too. Paul, I know you're doing the ministry. I know you're doing what God has called you to do. I know that we're supposed to help take care, and I know we're supposed to meet the needs. I know we're supposed to do this, but Paul, you're on your own, tough. Because you don't know all my problems, Paul. You know what happens in a church sometimes? You know what weakens a church? Is all we do is focus on our issues, our problems. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but we all can raise your hand. We all have issues going on right now. I don't believe there's one person in this building that does not have a problem of some sort, some struggle, some issue, something they're facing in their life. But you know what we do? We don't care about their needs. We care about ourselves. We become so focused on ourselves. And we don't have the love. You know what binds a church together? Is love based upon Christ. And do you know that love is not, it's a choice, but love is a command given. I have to choose to obey God or disobey God. Because it's a command. I'm to love Brother Rich. It's a command. I don't have a choice. I can come up with all his problems. And Lori's told me all his problems. And I can write them all down. No, she didn't, Rich. I'm just teasing. I can have all those. But I have to choose to obey God and to love Rich. I have to obey his command. And I have to love. I choose if I'm going to love or not. Do you know no perfect person is part of this church? Myself included? And you included as well? There is no perfect person in this building this morning. I'm sorry. Some of you thought you were. But Steve, you're not. As perfect. Kelly, you're laughing. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to the doghouse tonight. As imperfect as we are, we have to see that. We have to see ourselves and realize we have to love one another in spite of who they are and what they have done and their imperfections. What brings us together where I look past if I agree with this person or disagree with this person. We got to look past if I like what this person does with their kids or I don't like what this person does with the kids. If I like how this person dressed or I don't like how this person dressed. We have to look past some of that and realize there is something that binds us together. It's salvation. But what binds us together is we're to love one another and we are to put others before ourselves. And no matter what baggage that individual may have, I have just as much baggage. No matter what baggage that person has, I need to love them as Christ would love them. And I need to forgive them as Christ would forgive them. And that's what's going to bring us together. And that's what was happening at the church of Philippi. What strengthened them together is they loved one another. They served one another. Now, I'm not saying we have to wait on everybody hand and foot. Every time Brother Rick comes in, you don't have to get a wheelchair for him. He can walk. You don't need to bring him here and get him grapes and fan him. But I'm telling you, we need to serve one another. We need to look at ways of being a blessing, being a help. You know what's going to strengthen this church and bring it together, what did at the Church of Philippi? They weren't waiting for someone to be a blessing to them. They were trying to be a blessing to someone before they were a blessing to them. Let me challenge you. Every time you're around believers, and unbelievers as well try to be a blessing, but with believers, try to be a blessing to somebody before they're a blessing to you. And I tell you, that's going to bring you together. That's going to bind you together. One of the things I give when I do marriage counseling is I tell them to try to be a blessing to each other before the other person's a blessing to them. And when they start being a blessing to the other spouse before the spouse is them, there's something magical that happens. God does a miracle there. Because all of a sudden, what happens when you become a blessing, try to be a blessing before the other person's blessing you. That person becomes more important than yourself. And most of the issues with the relationships, not all, but most issues with the relationships is when we put others we put ourselves above others. They had a servant attitude. They had mutual prayer. You see that in verse 4. You see that here. Always in every prayer of mine, they were praying together. They had prayer. They were confident of this thing, of the gospel, and they wanted the gospel to go forward, but they prayed. What were they praying? They were praying that the church would be used. They were praying that the believers would be used. They were praying that it would be a lighthouse. Do you know what we need to pray for? You know what's going to bind us together? As we as a church pray that God would use us, but use each individual in this church to carry out the gospel. We have on the back tables those little cards I put together. Encourage you to take those to your neighbors. It's an opportunity, even in this COVID era, that you can take these and see if there's a need, see if there's a prayer request, see if there's something your neighbor needs. Why? To be a blessing to those individuals. But the main purpose is what? To be able to share the gospel. We need to pray that we can share the gospel with this lost and dying world. Pray that God continues to give us opportunity to be that lighthouse that we ought to be. You know what's going to bind us together? When we hear testimonies of individuals getting saved, receiving the Lord as their Savior, following the Lord in obedience and baptism, serving God. That's what's going to bind the church together. What's going to bind the church together is see those individuals that have turned from God, turn back to God. What's going to bind the church together is see a revival that takes place in the church and in the community. What binds it together is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be praying that God continues to do a work. It's exciting. Next week, I get to baptize my son Elijah. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, he received the Lord as his Savior. 2 weeks from today, we get to baptize Brandy and Kyle. They've received the Lord as their Savior a few years back, and they're going to follow the Lord in obedience and baptism. It's exciting how the Lord brought them here to this church. It's exciting. This is what binds the church together. What brings the church together is seeing lives changed. Seeing the gospel carried out. Not only did they have a common salvation, not only did they serve together, but I want you to see real quickly in verse number 10, and there's so much more here, but look at verse 10. That they may approve things that are excellent, that they may be sincere and without offense, to the day of Christ. They shared a sincerity. They were real. They were true. They didn't look to offend. They didn't look to cause offense. They didn't look to cause problems. They were true and they were genuine in their service and in their love for God. You see, they were genuine. And they were sincere. They shared it that they may prove the things that are excellent, that they may be sincere and without offense to the day of Jesus Christ. They weren't phony. They weren't fake. They weren't just people playing church. They understood that they were the church. They understood who they were in Christ Jesus. And they understood that their mission was and what they were supposed to be doing. And they realized it was no longer a game. This was their life and who they ought to be. You know what brought them together? People were real. How many remember as a little kid playing house? And you would set up playing house, usually with your brothers and sisters, sometimes with some other friends. And you would pretend that you were married. And you would pretend that you were doing things in a house, and even your siblings became the kids and all that. You remember that, don't you, Jerry? No. Oh, you didn't have an imagination then. Nobody to play with. You had your rocks and sticks, right? And you remember playing that type of stuff. Do you know many people are playing church today? They're not sincere. They come to church. And I'm not saying this church. I'm saying on a whole. But they come to church. They play the game. They sing the Psalms sometimes. They open the Bible sometimes. They close their eyes and pray. Not that you have to close your eyes, but it's reverence, it's respect, and it's not allowing distractions to get you off track and you're listening to what's being prayed. They maybe talk about God once in a while in their life, and they're just going through the motions. They're playing church. Do you know the type of church that God blessed? Was a church that was unified together. And the church that was unified together was a church that was made up of not perfect people, but real people. Do you know sometimes we need to be real and not trying to put on a facade? The Bible talks a lot about Book of Luke and other portions about hypocrisy. About putting on a facade. Putting on our game face, as some of you would say. You know what I mean by that? Some of you that have played sports and stuff, they tell you to put, especially those that have the natural ability to never be able not to smile, they tell them to get rid of that smile and put on their game face. Why? Because could you imagine playing football and you are just kind of this big cheesy grin the whole time? Are they going to take you serious? How about if you're going to wrestle somebody and you're just, oh, I'm going to get you. Yeah, how's that going to go? Yeah. You think that person's nuts, right? No. But believers put on their game face, and that's not a good thing. They put on their face that they're supposed to show up when they come to church, and they're not real. If we are fake, we are weak. It's okay to be real. It's okay to admit that you have struggles. It's okay to admit that you need help. It's okay to admit that you're not perfect. It's okay to say, I need to work on this in my life and I need to work on that in my life. That's okay. That's being real. What real is saying, I cannot do this myself, but God, I need your strength. I need your help. And with your strength and with your help, I'm going to strive to be as true as I can be and live a life that is pleasing in your sight. It's no longer about a game in my life. This is my life. You are my life. Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to be that clean vessel. I want to be filled, serving, living for you. And I need your help and I need your strength. You know what weakens a church? Is when we have fake individuals in a church. You ever met a person, you thought they had all the money in the world, and then you talk to, if you find out the truth, and they don't have two nickels to rub together? You know what I'm talking about. You ever talk to a person, and by talking to them, you thought they were the best athletic person that ever lived, and they should be in the NFL or NBA or major leagues, and then you played with them, and you go, huh? You ever met a person that said how spiritual they were? And they talk about how much they read the Word of God and how they've never missed a church service ever in their life, even when they were throwing up and had six kids at the same time, and how spiritual they are. You ever met a person that had to tell you how spiritual they were? Folks, if we're real, we don't have to tell anybody about who we are. We don't have to tell anybody about how spiritual we are. You just live it, and they will see it. You know what needs to happen in this church? Is we need to live it so people will see it. You know what needs to happen in this community? We need to live it so people will see it. You know what's going to bring us all together and be that lighthouse? Be that glowing light for the Lord Jesus Christ is we start living our faith and we're sincere. You know what's going to change your kids? Is they see mom and dad living what they say they believe. They see mom and dad refrain from using certain words. They see mom and dad refrain from watching certain things. They see mom and dad in the Word of God, in their Bible, studying their Bible, praying to God. They see mom and dad witnessing as they should. They see mom and dad tithing as they should. They see mom and dad doing as they should. Why? Because you're the example that they see, and we need to be living it. It's going to make a difference in your family, outside of your immediate family with your kids. Because when you show up to family gatherings, and you don't just start preaching to them and going down their throat with it, but you start living it. They see that you used to partake of drinking a certain beverage you no longer take of. They see you pray before you eat. And not to be a show, but that's because of who you are. They start to see you living it out. They start to see a change in your kids. They start to see a change in the relationship between you and your husband. They start to see that change. And that's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to make a difference is you're living out your faith. And they see that you're true and you're real. Not just the first week. Not just the first month. But 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road, they see that you're still true. What's going to bring one another together is salvation, is serving, and sincerity. You want to be stronger? You want this church to be stronger? We need a church based upon salvation. We need a church based upon serving. And we need a church that is sincere. And that takes every believer to be real as we should. Let's be the church that God would have us to be. And let's have the tide that binds us together. And let's become stronger. This year has been a weird year. I would like to say that 2021 is going to be better. We have no promises of that. But I do know this. No matter what happens the rest of this year, no matter what happens next year, no matter what happens 10 years from now, this church, each individual in this church can be stronger than we were last year, this year, and each year as an individual and as a group, no matter what is happening in this world. Because what has happened in this world should have no effect on us having the common salvation, serving, and being sincere. And that's what's going to strengthen us as an individual, and that's what's going to strengthen this church. And no other time, this I believe we're in the time like none other, that we need to rise up, we need to stand up, and we need to be stronger than we've ever been before. Because this, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, our testimony, is what's going to make a difference in this world. You and I, and believers alike, need to stand up, rise up, be strong, and keep serving God, keep being true, and that's what's going to change this world. Let us look inside this morning. Where are we at this morning? First, do you know the Lord is your Savior? If you don't, we're going to sing here in just a minute. Why don't you come and let someone show you from God's Word how you can know for sure your sins forgiven and home in heaven? If you follow the Lord in salvation, but you never follow Him in obedience and baptism, baptism does not save, but it's a step of obedience after salvation. Jesus Himself was baptized as an example. It's identify with Him. It's in Romans 6 talks a lot about it. Read Romans 6. Let me encourage you. Why don't you come and follow the Lord? Believer, maybe there's some areas that the characteristics are a little weak. Maybe you're not serving as you should. Maybe you're not putting others before yourself. You put yourself first. Let God work in your heart and your life. Maybe you're not real. And you know what? The only ones that really, truly know if you're real or not real is you and God. Ask God to show you. And it doesn't mean you're terrible. It means, hey, there's something wrong. Get it fixed and move forward. Because honestly, if we're all honest, we've all had times where we're not real in certain areas of our lives. Let's just be honest. The problem is not when we fail. The problem is when we fail and we don't get it right. Let's just move forward for God in our lives. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you just be with this message that we saw this church at Philippi. I pray that you just work in our hearts. Lord, help us to be challenged as we should. And we do pray if there's one that does not know you, Savior, you help us to see our need. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.